Khan, founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananda Gauti, Vaishnav Vrind ki jai, Namacharya, Srila Vedas Thakur, Prem se kaho, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sidwaya Girana, Srila Siddhi Gaura, Bhakta Vrind ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Govinda Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan ki jai, Mithuram ki jai, Navaditam ki jai, Vasami ki jai, Yuvanamai ki jai, Shivani Kalasire ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindavan ki jai, Gaur Vrindavan ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to So I was inspired to speak today about the Brahma Samhita by a great personality who inspired me. His name is Hiranyakashipu. Everyone's heard of Hiranyakashipu?
Yes.
He's one of my idols, or used to be. So the word means, Hiranyakashipu means gold and a soft bed. So a nice water bed or something like that. So Hiranyakashipu was worshipping Lord Brahma because he thought Lord Brahma was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he was worshipping him for what we call ulterior motives. Generally, we find people doing puja for their own motives. It's like a business exchange. Just like sometimes I will go into Walmart and do puja too. Does anyone know that? I worship, of course Sam Walton's dead, but I worship the company by making an offering.
Yes.
Right? That's a type of puja. I make an offering, ching ching, whatever. Or swipe. Swaha. 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 Put in your zip code. So I make an offering and then I get something from the offering. So that's a puja, right? Make an offering, get something from the offering. So generally, people worship the demigods for those particular purposes. As actually, Krishna states that in the Gita. He says, Amayis Taista Rithikana Prabhachan Te Devataha. Those whose knowledge is stolen by, let's say, desires, personal desires. The actual word is lust, but just let's broaden it a little bit. So they worship the demigods, and they worship for some particular purpose. So our friend Hiranyakashipu, he was worshiping Lord Brahma for the purpose of becoming what? Anyone know? Immortal, living forever. Actually, we all live forever. Did you know that? But not in these present bodies. It's not that at some point the graves will open up and those bones will rise again, as we hear sometimes. We don't want our bones to rise again. Actually, even in the Bible it says ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So, basically, we don't want to live forever in this body. Maybe you do, I don't. So, we all have eternal life. Krishna says that Jo Nitya Shashvata Yam Purana Yahanyate Handiwana Shavira in the Bhagavad Gita. But this Hiranyakashipu wanted to live forever in his present body. And Lord Brahma said to him, can't do, buddy. He said, but I can let you choose. How are you going to die? Lord Brahma is very tricky when he gives benedictions. Generally, the benedictions that Lord Brahma gives are indications of when the person will die or how the person will die. In the case of our friend Hiranyakashipu, of course, the benediction was he won't die in the daytime, nighttime, inside, outside, a man or beast or weapon or anything like that. And he was killed by who? Half man, half lion in the doorway, you know, day or night, not day or night, twilight, etc.
So there's other interesting cases too. There were two demons once upon a time. There were two demons. It wasn't Kali Yuga, so there were just two. So their names were Sunda and Upasunda. And these two demons could not be defeated. So they went to Lord Brahma, worshipped Lord Brahma, and they asked Lord Brahma for benediction, normal benediction, can we live forever? And Lord Brahma said, can't do, but you can choose how you're going to die. So they said, well, the only way that we will die is if we kill each other. And they were good friends. They were brothers. But generally, brothers don't kill each other. So they were thinking, we tricked Lord Brahma. It's a Ranyakasha who thought the same thing. We've tricked Lord Brahma, so therefore we're going to live forever. But Lord Brahma had another plan. He said to Vishwakarma, the architect of the demigods and the engineer, he said, create me the most beautiful girl in creation. Take all the different parts, I guess. Just like when I was young, I had what's called an erector set, where you put different things together. Anyone's had things like that? Yeah, put it together. Or little blocks that people... Anyway, take all the different parts of the most beautiful girls in the whole universe and put them together. You know, the best nose, best eyes, best ears, best toes, best hair, all that. And they put it together. He put it together. And the girl's name was Tilotama. That means the topmost sesame girl. Why didn't sesame seed? And so he sent Tilotama out on her mission, and she caused the two guys to fight with each other, and they killed each other. So that's the problem with worshiping the demigods. It sort of predicts how you're going to die, and it's not a really good idea, and the demigods aren't the ultimate source of everything, and actually everything comes from Krishna, Adir, he gave an up. So nowadays, not many people worship Lord Brahma. I don't think I've ever met any of our congregation members that has a deity of Lord Brahma on his altar. Why? Because Lord Brahma was cursed in Kali Yuga. He was actually cursed by Saraswati, his wife. It's an interesting story of the Puranas. He was cursed because Lord Brahma had the audacity to marry someone else. There's a whole story. I'm not going to tell the story right now. But he married a Savitri. And she said, because of that, you're not going to be worshipped anywhere except for Pushpura, which is one place in India. That place you can go to Lord Brahma worship. And also, incidentally, if you go to Thailand, Lord Brahma's worship there. Anyone who's been to Thailand, they've seen that. That practically every street corner they have a deity of Lord Brahma and a vending machine for incense so you can do your own whatever. Ramayana Maha. So there are 33 million demigods. That's a lot. And you can pick your choice if you want to worship one. So it's better to worship a demigod that doesn't get much worship, because that way you'll get more attention. There's even a story about that in the Mahabharata. There was one devotee, one person, and he's thinking, I've got to find a demigod that nobody else worships. So he looked up in the sky, and there was some sort of demigod, cloud form or something, and he worshipped him, and he became very rich. So that's my advice for you. So all glories to Prabhupada. That's not the end of the class. So we don't advise worshiping them. So there's many reasons why we accept that Krishna, Lord Vishnu, that is Krishna in all his incarnations, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the demigods are simply the serpents. I mean, there's many indications in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Adiya Videvanam, many indications in the Vedic literatures, even in the Rig Veda, Om Tad Vishnu Param Pada Pashanti Yat Suryaha. That's in the Rig Veda, one of the original Vedas, one of the original four Vedas. That all the demigods, they're simply looking to Lord Vishnu. So, we're going by Shastra. That's our method of knowing things. This is called epistemology. How do you know what you know? You follow Shastra. And Krishna says, those who don't follow Shastra, the Shastra vidin utsrija. This is from the Bhagavad Gita. Naparam gatim. They cannot, nasukam, naparam gatim. They can neither become happy nor understand or reach the transcendental direction. So we follow Shastra. Now, this is the introduction to the Brahma Samhita, of course. A brief introduction. So what we hope to do over the next week or so, this today and next week, is talk about the Brahma Samhita, utilizing some of the slides that we put together. So the Brahma Samhita was composed many, many years ago at the time of the cosmic creation. As they say in the Bible, in the beginning, there was darkness, and God said, let there be light. So this is the same time frame we're talking about. And Brahma is the first created being within the universe. He appeared because there was no mother there, so he appeared actually from the navel, the lotus flower coming from the navel of Lord Vishnu. And he wrote this book, well, he didn't actually write, he spoke the Samhita, after receiving the absolute truth, after engaging in austerities. When he first was born, or appeared, he didn't know what was going to happen, because it was all dark. So he thought, I should try to figure things out for myself. This is called the ascending process. Like now, most people, they accept religion based on the ascending process. It's called eclectic religion or elective religion. Most people in modern society, it's true, they'll take a little bit from the Vedas, a little bit from Christianity, a little bit from the Muslim religion, a little bit from their favorite yogi, Yogi Bear, and or whatever yogi they worship. You know, there's some yogis who say that if you increase the heat, you'll become Krishna conscious. And some yogis who say if you go put ice cubes, you'll become God conscious. So, anyway, so you take a little bit and you mix it all together in some big brew, boil, double trouble, cauldron burn, cauldron bubble, that's right, Macbeth, of course, Shakespeare. And you come up with your own philosophy. Most people do that nowadays. So, Lord Brahma actually started the same process. He thought, I'll dive down and try to figure things out. But then everything remained dark. He remained bewildered. And then he heard the sound vibration coming from his spiritual master. Who is his spiritual master? Krishna. That's right. Lord Krishna. Vigarbo Pakshai Vishnu. So there's different Vishnus in this universe. Vishnu and the Garbhagar. These are called the Purusha avatars. So he heard these words coming from his guru, and he took the words of his guru very seriously. This is actually the way of its spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Kuriya Akya. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, comments that the reason he was able to be so successful, of course he's a Shaktivesha avatar, but Prabhupada was stating, was that he took the order and the words of his spiritual master as his life and soul. And Prabhupada was able to accomplish a miracle, do something impossible. And what did he do? He came at the advanced age to America with no money, a few rupees in his pocket, a few books. And because of him, we're all here today. And there's millions of people now who are his followers all over the world. Because of that one principle, he focused on the words of his guru. That's the secret of success. The success potency is there to if you focus on the words of the guru. And all of us are related with Srila Prabhupada. We focus on Srila Prabhupada's words. Because Srila Prabhupada's words, first of all, chant Hare Krishna. That's obvious. And follow a few simple rules and regulations. And dedicate your life to spreading Krishna consciousness. Especially, Prabhupada would say many times he would comment on this verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that those who are born in the land of Bharatvarsha, that's those who come from India, have as their duty para upakara, to work for the benefit of others, not simply engage in economic development, but to actually work for the benefit of others. So that was Prabhupada's, one of Prabhupada's mottos, isn't it? Often Prabhupada would recite this verse. So if we focus on those instructions of Prabhupada, we will be successful materially and spiritually. That's a secret for all of us. So Lord Brahma, he knew that secret. Of course, he didn't have any options. We have options. We can either do that or not do that. But Lord Brahma, he heard the word tapa, tapa. And for most of us, that's a frightening word. That means austerity. And for Lord Brahma, that austerity meant sitting in meditation for many hundreds of celestial years. But for us, austerity is very simple. Chant Hare Krishna, eat prasadam, dance in ecstasy, and share Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna says in the Gita that those who share Krishna consciousness are most dear to him, and there will never be one more dear to him than those who share Krishna consciousness, teaches this Bhagavad Gita. So it's very simple. But Lord Brahma's austerities were very difficult. Hiranyakashipu's were even more difficult, standing on his tiptoes and eventually losing his body, living in the marrow of his bones. But Lord Brahma, he sat there in meditation, and at the end of that meditation, all the spiritual truths were revealed to him. This is Krishna's verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Abhichami Namuktama. Prachaksha Bhagavam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartamavyam. That this Krishna consciousness is the most secret of all secrets, most valuable thing, the most king of all knowledge. And it gives direct perception of the self. Prachaksha. Aksha means eyes, direct eyes. Direct perception of the self by realization. So one of you becomes Krishna conscious, you get to meet Krishna face to face and shake his hand. That's actually what happened with Lord Brahma. After his meditation, Krishna said, hey, high five. Whatever. You know, he shook his hand. This is describing, he actually shook his hand like that. Can you imagine God coming in? And not only that, Lord Brahma and all pure devotees have a spiritual television where they can tune in. They don't need to watch Star TV. Star TV. They don't need to watch. Because they can tune in on any of Krishna's pastimes they want at any time. Imagine, I want to watch Lord Brahma tonight. Okay. Boy, those special effects are fantastic. Those aren't special effects. That's the real thing. So you can actually tune in. That's, you meet Krishna, you participate in his pastimes. I mean, this is simply wonderful. So that's what happened with Lord Brahma, that he met Krishna and was able to participate in his pastimes. Simply by following those instructions, he achieved success, tapa-tapa. So, after he perceived the spiritual realm, prachaksha, he was able to speak about what he saw. And what he saw, some of those things that he saw are contained in the fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita. That's the only chapter we have extant. In other words, right now. There's many other chapters. It's the fifth chapter. And this fifth chapter of the Brahma Samhita reveals all the Vedic truths, the essence of all the Vedic truths, and the process for achieving all the Vedic truths. So, I'm going to start a little bit. We're not going to do the whole thing today. So, one of the first verses, hopefully this works, is the first one. Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidanandavira Anadiradi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. So we're going to analyze this verse. This is like the nutshell, the beginning verse of the Brahma Samhita. So each word has very great significance. So Ishwara, like, means controller. But he's the supreme controller. All of us want to become Ishwaras, right? Actually, Krishna says that. In the Gita, he tells us that each one of us wants to become Ishwara. What does he say? Ishwaraham. Aham bhogi. Siddhoham. Balavam sukhi. So Krishna is giving us the mantra that demons chant. So if you want to become a nice demon, chant this mantra. We're initiating you now in this mantra. Everyone repeat. Ishwaraham aham bhogi. Siddhoham balavam sukhi. Great. That means I am the controller. I am Ishwaraham aham bhogi. I'm the bhogi. Just like if you join a Krishna conscious temple and the devotees want to insult each other, what do they say? You're a bogey. Prabhupada said, you can either be a bogey, a rogi, or a yogi. A rogi means a sick person, and a yogi means someone who is concentrating on spiritual life. So we want to be the enjoyer. When we see something, we want to enjoy it. It's like, that's almost like an animal consciousness. Like a dog sees something and wants to do something with it, you know. Mate with it or eat it or do something. So in this world, we all have that consciousness. Bogi. Ishwara Homa Homa Bogi. Siddhoham. I am perfect. Balavam. Like Balavadra. Because that's the name of Balaram. Balaram is, he's named after Balaram. So all of our names have a das on the end, which means servant of Balaram. So I'm servant of Krishna. You're Krishna das, Gosama, who is a hero in so many episodes. So, Ishwaraham aham bhogi, siddhoham balavam sukhi, and I'm happy. Just like sometimes I ask some of my relatives, I said, are you happy in this material world? And they said, I'm happy. I went to my brother and I said, would you like to hear about Krishna consciousness? He said, I'm happy. Don't spoil it for me. It's like someone goes to the movies and you say, they don't want to hear the end. You know, the butler did it or something like that. So I'm happy. Leave me alone. What did you look at? Anyway, so each one of us wants to have these qualities, but the whole point is that makes us disturbed. Bhukti mukti siddhikam sakalaya shanta krishna bhakti nishkam atha ayava shanta. That if one wants to be the powerful, perfect, the enjoyer, whatever, he's always going to have a disturbed mind. And when you have a disturbed mind, how can you be happy, right? Everybody's experienced, like if something happens in life and your mind is very disturbed, you're just thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen? I have so much bills to pay. Oh, how can you think of Krishna? How can you not have it? But when the mind is peaceful, peace is a necessary point to come to be happy. Just like many of you chant, Om Shanti, 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 Shanti. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. Shanti, mode of goodness. So, in order to be that way, you have to understand that Krishna is the supreme controller. Let him control. You're not in control. We get frustrated. Just like sometimes I'm driving the car and there's a red light and I get frustrated. Why the hell the red light is there? Don't they know that I'm a guru in the Hare Krishna? I was with one sannyasi one time. I was driving and every time there was a red light, he said, go through it. I said, why? He said, because I'm telling you to. So we're not the controllers, because it's the police, and you may get an accident, the police will pull you over, and you can't tell the police, policeman pulls you over, and you go, I'm the controller here. It doesn't work like that. So Krishna is the supreme controller, and here's the interesting word, parama, because we can analyze each word. Parama can be used in relationship with Ishvara, which means supreme controller, but also means Parama, the supreme enjoyer. The acharyas, when they analyze this particular word, that Krishna is the enjoyer. And when you understand that Krishna is the enjoyer, you work for his enjoyment, you become happy because that's your nature. If you act differently than your nature, you will not be happy. Does everyone understand that? Like, Prabhupada would give the example of that if you take a fish out of the water and you give the fish everything that you want, I mean, you give the fish a bank account, a Mercedes, or whatever, the fish is not going to be a happy camper. The fish is going to want to go back in the water where its natural position is. So, but Krishna's the enjoyer. Our natural position is to give enjoyment. Like you see, the gopis, many times people understand the gopis' relationship with Krishna. They think the gopis are just trying to enjoy some nice boyfriend. Of course, Krishna is the nicest boyfriend. But they're trying to give enjoyment to Krishna. Just like the story when Krishna had a headache. And Krishna was asking Narada Muni to look for one of his devotees who could give him the medicine that would cure his headache, and that medicine was the foot dust from the devotee's feet. And each and every devotee said, no, because I do not want to go to hell. You know, obviously you're not going to take the dust of your feet and throw it on the devas. That would be very bad. Sometimes, it's interesting, funny, just a funny thing, sometimes I've seen when people do a puja for Prabhupada, they throw the water that they offer to Prabhupada on Prabhupada too. That's not the procedure. So, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and our nature is prakriti in relationship to Krishna's purusha. And if we act in that capacity, thinking not only with the body, with the mind, with the words, because it's very easy to do something externally, but to be with one's heart, giving everything for the pleasure of Krishna. As Rupa Goswami describes, that devotional service in Yabhi Lashatashinyam Gyanakarma Navartam Anukunyena Krishna Shilanam Bhaktutamam. Devotional service, the positive aspects are doing something with the mentality of pleasing Krishna. Not just doing something, but doing what Krishna wants, being active, and doing it with the mentality of pleasing Krishna. So that's what Parama means. He's the supreme enjoyer, of course, of numerous consorts, and we're meant to give him enjoyment too, and then we become happy. And here's another one. Sachidananda Vigraha. Vigraha means like form. And so he is the possessor of the eternal form of knowledge and bliss. Krishna does not have a material body. In the Bhagavad Gita, Jopi Sama, Vyatma, Utanami, Saropi Sham, Bhakti, Swami, Hishtaya, Sambhavami, Atmamaya. Krishna comes down in a spiritual body that doesn't ashnaviram, it doesn't have veins. Sometimes, out of pastimes, Krishna makes believe he has veins. Can anyone think of a pastime when that happened?
Bhishma Day,
yes, thank you very much. When Krishna was driving Arjuna's chariot in the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma took a vow, I'm going to either make Krishna break his promise not to fight, or I'm going to kill Arjuna. So Krishna broke his promise, picked up the chariot wheel, and Bhishma was firing the arrows, and those arrows hit Krishna, and Krishna made believe there was some blood there. And Prabhupada in the Acharya's comment that Krishna experienced it like a lover's bite. Because that is the relationship of chivalry. But Krishna, basically in his transcendental body, there's no veins. It's only eternity, bliss, and knowledge. With our bodies, I mean, look, as you get older, what do you see?
Lots of veins.
Lots of veins. That's the problem. And gray hair, or no hair. But Krishna always has long black hair. It's not like you see Krishna one day at 125 years old when he's in the battle of Kurukshetra with gray hair, back problems, arthritis. You know, he says to Arjuna, can you help me get off the chariot? Do you have an elevator to help me get back on the chariot? No. It's not like that. He looked 16 years old. Navayovanam cha. 16 years old when he was on the earth 125 years. Try that. That's without plastic surgery, without implants or anything like that. So that's what it means to have a spiritual body. He's always youthful. Always youthful. And the devotees, when they reach perfection, they all have. We all have spiritual bodies too. But they're covered right now. They're covered just like a hand may be covered by a glove, but there's a hand underneath. So our spiritual body is covered with the gross body and the subtle body. The Linga Shivara, the subtle body, and the gross body, the Pancha Mahabhuta, you know, what you see right now. And so when we chant the holy names, Chaito Dharpana Marjana, like Bhagavan was talking about this morning, we cleanse the mirror of the heart and we dissolve the subtle body so we can actually perceive our real self. What do we see? We see Krishna and we see our real self. Each and every one of you has a relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world of one of different five different types, rasas. And when you chant, you cleanse the heart. Baba Mahat Bhakti. I mean, if we study Lord Chaitanya Shikshashtaka, and then you're able to see your own spiritual body after a while. Wow. In the second stage of sadhana bhakti, Vraganuga bhakti, you begin to contemplate yourself in your spiritual body, doing things in the spiritual world. Wow. Pretty cool, isn't it? And that body is also very young. Never get old. So you solve your life problems. You solve the old age, death, disease, and everything like that. So Krishna has a spiritual body. And an adhir. He has no origin. Now this is a very interesting point. Generally everything in this world has some cause. Like, here we are in a temple. What's the cause? I mean, you have the ingredient cause. Right? What's the ingredient cause? The wood, the concrete, everything else. Ingredient cause, and you have the efficient cause. What's the efficient cause? The person who put it together. Me in most cases. You know, anyway. I guess I'm bragging. That's the efficient. So there's a cause for everything. It's not that this temple, you know, one day, you know, we just walked into the property and the temple was there. That actually is like the theory of so-called theory of evolution that everyone believes in. That, you know, once upon a time, there was one cell that came to being because of whatever, you know, a reducing atmosphere. And then all of a sudden that cell developed into a higher creature and a higher creature. Here we are today. Actually, this goes against the law of entropy. In this material world, everything tends to fall apart. So in any case, everything you see has a cause. There's Arpan, for example. What's the cause of his body? Shukada! He's about to go. You know, that's the cause. His mother and father. And you go to Shukada, and he had a father. And his father had a father. And his father had a father. And his father, you know, we're getting farther away from the father. So then ultimately, you come to the origin, that's Krishna, who had no father. He does act like he has a father when he comes down to the earth, you know, Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev, like that. But actually, he has no father. Because he's the father, Hambija Pradapita. He's the father of everybody. So that's Krishna. And he is without origin, and he's the source of all other forms of God. Ete chansa kalakum sa Krishna stu Bhagavan's way. How do we know that? Because the Bhagavatam and other verses and in other scriptures tell us that. And also, by logic and reason, we can see that Krishna is the source of all the other incarnations. Because Krishna has more qualities. There's four qualities that only Krishna has. What are four qualities? Childhood pastime, intimate beauty. Unparalleled beauty, loving devotees,
and
flute. Outside of Vrindavan, Lord Vishnu does not play a flute, regardless of what you see in the movies. Can't believe everything you see. And outside of Vrindavan, Lord Vishnu does not dance with gopis. It's like one time, little history, around the time of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, there was a bogus person who was declaring himself to be God. Rishikshena was his name. And he said he was God. He had two friends, Brahma and Shiva. Because if you're going to be God, you know, you got to have your associates. So it's this principle of people declaring themselves as God is not something new. It's been going on through the ages. Even when Krishna was present, there was one Pondraka who declared he was God, and he tied two extra symbols on his side. You know, because you got to have four symbols if you're going to be Vishnu. So he tied them, and he said to Krishna, he even thought he was God. And he said to Krishna, or Vishnu, give me your chakra. And Krishna said, okay, no problem. Here it is, catch. He couldn't catch. Or he caught it in the wrong way. So there's this Vishnu who declared himself to be Vishnu, and he wanted to dance with all the girls in the middle of the night. But that doesn't work. He should have said, I'm Krishna instead of Vishnu. He wanted to do that. So only Krishna, the original form, Adi Purusham, Govindam, Adi Purusham, Tamaham Jami. Each and every verse of the Brahma Samhita that we're going to be dealing with, almost every verse, sorry, ends with this Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Jami, which means Govinda. Who is Govinda? Govinda means the pleaser of the cows, pleaser of the senses. And actually, in the 5,000 years ago, that name was given to Krishna by whom?
Indra.
That's right. It was given by Indra. When Indra was apologizing after having tried to kill the residents of Vrindavan. So, Govindam Adi Purusham. He's the original person. Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma is worshipping him. So that's the first verse of the Brahma Samhita. And he's called Govinda because he cares for the cows and Goloka Vrindavan. I mean, the spiritual boat is known as Goloka, the planet of the cows. Wow. And the most dear animal to Krishna is the cow. Wonderful, isn't it? And the hill Govardhan, you have Govardhan, Goloka, Gokula, Gopal, Govinda, so many names with cows. So he cares for the cows and he does that in the spiritual world. And now we're going to analyze, and we're going to stop in a second. Because I know. That's why I said it may take 3 weeks to do this particular analysis. So Krishna, the word Krishna is actually quite interesting. I wanted to talk about that because it means several different things. Here we just have two meanings. Krish means the cause of all existence. That's one meaning. And another one is not the cause of all bliss, which is connected with Ananda. So other meanings are that Krishna can also be taken from the word karshati, the root karshati, which means to attract. And na, of course, means Ananda in that particular case. Krish also can sometimes be understood as the greatest. Krish also can be understood as spiritual pleasure. And sometimes, when you take the word Krishna, it can mean one who eradicates the miseries of the material world. So there's different meanings the acharyas have given. Of course, we're not speculating. It's actually an offense to speculate on the meaning of the holy name. But when you chant the name Krishna, and you actually chant purely, you want millions and millions of ears and tongues, and that's not enough. That's what the acharyas say. That's not enough. It's just like, it just grows on you. Like tomorrow is Ekadashi. How do you go? And many of the devotees, they increase their number of rounds that they chant. Many Ekadasis I chant 64 rounds. And what we experience is when you chant 64 rounds, you can't stop. It just continues. You become happier and happier. And then you start to think of 16 as just the warm-up. Like if you have a game, like a cricket game or something like that, 16 is just a warm-up before the game. And the abode of Krishna, that means where Krishna lives, is called Gokula, also Goloka. It's the center of a lotus with 1,000 petals and sustained by a portion of the spiritual energy of Baladeva, that's Baladeva, called Ananta, of course Ananta Shesh, like that. So I think we'll end. fear. I think we've covered enough grounds for today. So any questions or comments before we take prasada? Yes, well, Cardinal.
Yeah, I have a question. Read the Bhagavatam, and sometimes you hear these far off statements, like the television part, and sometimes I kind of wonder, how do I know that's true? Because, we don't really have a context for that.
Yeah, that's a very good question. We know that's true. And we also know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, first of all, by the Vedic literatures, second of all, by those great saints who have experienced that. Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, Arjuna says, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Avacham, Param Purusham, Divyam, Adigayam, Aham, Jukabhum. And then he says, the reason I know this is Abhustvam Rishayat Sare Devar Shir Naradas Tata. So the great sages have perceived this. So that's another source of knowing. And one of the things that increases our faith is that it's not an all or nothing experience. That it's not that by chanting, if I don't see Krishna, then things aren't working. You gradually experience more and more, as Krishna describes in the Gita, like the sun coming up in the morning. It gradually gets lighter and lighter. You begin to see things. For example, you go before the deities, and the deity communicates with you. Prabhupada was asked one time by a devotee, is Krishna happy, referring to the deities? And Prabhupada said, you're the Pujari, you should know that. So, in other words, there is some communication. And I think all of us experience, or most of us experience, going before Radha Govindananda here. And I can tell when they're angry and when they're not, when they're happy. So, one time I went to a temple in another country, I'm not going to mention where it was, but the deities weren't being taken care of very well. So I entered the temple room, and there was Lord Nrisimhadeva appearing as Radha and Krishna on the altar. I actually saw Lord Nrisimhadeva in the Radha and Krishna deities. I said, oh my God, get me out of here. And they said, would you like to become temple president here? And I said, no. There must be somewhere else you could send me. This is when I was a young brahmachari. I'm not going to mention where it was. It was not here in the United States. It was in some other country. So Krishna, Krishna does reciprocate like that with you, with his holy names. You have that beginning. It's like the beginning of the daytime when you first see things, maybe in a little shadows or black and white, and then the colors are gradually coming. That's Krishna consciousness. It's not all of a sudden. It's not like turning on the light. It's like you get it. It's like using a dimmer. But gradually the light gets... Thank you for the question, sir. Good question. Okay, one more question, and then we have prasadam right there. Any other questions? If not, we want to thank everybody. We have a nice crowd here, and especially want to thank our guests and Arpan for coming here for his birthday. And there'll be a little cake for his birthday that you can share when you give to him. I guess I could feed him his cake. He came all the way from the country of Philadelphia. They had to get a visa. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
What's that?